Matthew 24 and 25, and Revelation chapter 4 through Revelation 19. Now, I may decide to go a little further and finish up the book of Revelation, but my primary interest is to get us through the 19th chapter of the book of Revelation, which brings us to the millennial age. So that will be our objective as we're studying through this. Tonight I'm going to give you a paradigm in which to understand, I believe, the prophetic scriptures. It will be a picture. It's going to be like a timeline that you probably have not seen it presented as before. It's a way that I understand the prophetic scriptures, and it really helps me to put things in place, and I think that will become apparent as we go through this. I really think I've got a pretty good idea, you know, to do it this way. So there'll be a few times when throughout the process of these messages that I will say, now, my chances of being right on this are somewhere between slim and none, you know. And we understand that as we go to the prophetic scriptures, we're looking at stuff when we attempt to place it and understand it real fully. Sometimes we don't do so well, and we need to be open and honest about that. Let's pray before we look at this tonight. We want to remember Dick in prayer tonight. Trust that he'll be able to have his surgery on Wednesday. Let's pray. Our Father in heaven, as we open your word together tonight, we acknowledge our dependence on you. We're so grateful that you have seen fit to reveal the future unto us, that we might be conscious of it, that we might be aware of it, and that our lives would be directed and shaped by the future. We ask this in Jesus' name. Amen. And Lord, we forgot to pray for Dick. Lord, we pray that you would bring him to surgery and bring him through successfully this week. We would ask that in Jesus' name. Amen. All right. In 2 Peter chapter 3, we looked at that, and I want to take you down to verse 10, where Peter says, "But the day of the Lord will come as a thief in the night." Now, there are several places throughout the prophetic scriptures that the coming of the Lord, the returning of the Lord, in the sense of the day of the Lord, it is spoken to us that it will come as a thief in the night. And this evening, predominantly, what I want to do is bring you to an understanding of the day of the Lord and just what that will be. This is not the rapture of the church. We have an old saying that just seems to be rather profane to use it in this context, but I will, because it explains the use of the word day. We have that old saying, every dog has his day. Okay? Well, the Lord's day is coming. And what a wonderful, wonderful thing that is in its whole. But it is going to be a scary, scary day. Let me take you back to the Old Testament scriptures. We're going to begin in the book of Obadiah. Only one chapter in Obadiah, and we're going to look at verse 15 through 17. "For the day of the Lord is near upon all the heathen." Now, isn't that interesting? The day of the Lord is near upon all the heathen. That helps you color a little bit right away what the day of the Lord is. And the fact that it's upon the heathen brings to us the understanding that it will not be pleasant for them. "As thou hast done, it shall be done unto thee." Thy reward shall return upon thine own head. The day of the Lord is a time of great judgment. Now, the reason for this is then expanded on in the next two verses. For as ye have drunk upon my holy mountain, so shall all the heathen drink continually. They shall drink, and they shall swallow down, and they shall be as though they had not been. But upon Mount Zion shall be deliverance, and there shall be holiness, and the house of Jacob shall possess their possessions. So, this day of the Lord is something that's coming upon the ungodly, upon the heathen of this earth. And let us understand that some of the ungodly, some of the heathen are very nice people, but they will have nothing to do with God. You know, I remember early on in the ministry, I would meet some people in the community, and they would just be so kind and so open. And I would think, oh man, this person's going to get saved. And they didn't, they didn't, they didn't. And then as I watched them, because they were some men that I worked with also I was a bus driver for the local school district. And I would find out that those guys were colored by whatever environment they were in. When they were with me, they were nice and, you know, really, you know. And when they were with the ungodly, they were just as ungodly as the ungodly. Pardon me? Politicians. Well, you just said a mouthful. They are heathen just as much as anybody else. And the day of their judgment is coming. Turn to the book of Zephaniah chapter 1. Zephaniah chapter 1, verse 7 through 18. Hold thy peace at the presence of the Lord God, for the day of the Lord is at hand. For the Lord hath prepared a sacrifice. He hath bid his guests. You're going to find language very similar to this in the book of Revelation chapter 19. It shall come to pass in the day of the Lord's sacrifice, that I will punish the princes and the king's children and all such as are clothed with strange apparel. See, the time is coming when this earth and its astute people are going to be judged. Verse 9, in the same day also will I punish all those that leap upon the threshold, which fill their master's house with violence and deceit. Interesting language. We're not going to take time to expose a lot of this, but I think this leaping on the threshold, I think they're talking about the threshold of the temple. Those who rush into the temple who have no business being there. Verse 10, and it shall come to pass in that day, saith the Lord, that there shall be the noise of a cry from the fish gate, and howling from the second, and great crashing from the hills. Howl, ye inhabitants of Maktesh, for all the merchant people are cut down. All they that bear silver are cut off. You know, there's things going on economically today that are just unjust. And these people will meet God for their unjustness. Verse 12, and it shall come to pass at that time that I will search Jerusalem with candles and punish the men that are settled on their leaves. That is fun to look at and understand. In the process of purifying wine, they let it sit, and the sediment settles out of it to the bottom. And then in purifying it, they will pour it off carefully so that the lees remain in the bottom. And that's how they settle, they get the impurity out of the wine. These guys are settled on their leads. All their impurity is very welcome within their lives. They are settled on their leads. The Lord will not do good, neither will He do evil. Therefore, their goods shall become a booty, and their houses a desolation. They shall also build houses, but not inhabit them. They shall plant vineyards, but not drink the wine thereof. The great day of the Lord is near. It is near and hasteneth greatly. Even the voice of the day of the Lord, the mighty man shall cry there bitterly. That day is a day of wrath, a day of trouble and distress, a day of wasteness and desolation, a day of darkness and gloominess, a day of clouds and thick darkness. Take that, you amillennialists. Those who somehow believe that the Scriptures teach that the church is going to progress through the world until it's stronger and stronger and the world is perfected and the Lord returns. The Scriptures are absolutely different from that reality. Time of the Lord's return is a very dark day. Verse 16, a day of the trumpet, an alarm against the fenced cities and against the high towers. And I will bring distress upon men, that they shall walk like blind men, because they have sinned against the Lord. You see, it's not just the believers who are going to come into judgment. All the lost are going to come into judgment. Somehow, and I would say it is through our ineffectiveness, if I may say that, as the people of God, that the majority of the people in the earth feel that they are somehow free from having to obey God. They are not. They don't keep Him in their conscious minds. They don't think about Him. They aren't concerned about Him. Their blood shall be poured out as dust, and their flesh as the dung. There is a bittersweetness to this day of the Lord. Let me take you over to the book of Revelation chapter 10 and show you how this was illustrated to John. Revelation chapter 10. All of these things agree together. And that's a wonderful thing. You know that God wrote it when it all agrees together. Revelation chapter 10, we're going to begin reading at verse 8. An angel is speaking to John. And the voice which I heard from heaven spake unto me again and said, go and take the little book which is open in the hand of the angel which standeth upon the sea and upon the earth. And I went unto the angel, and I said unto him, give me the little book. And he said unto me, take it and eat it up, and it shall make thy belly bitter, but it shall be in thy mouth sweet as honey. And I took the little book out of the angel's hand and ate it up, and it was in my mouth sweet as honey. And as soon as I had eaten it, my belly was bitter. And he said unto me, thou must prophesy again before many peoples and nations and tongues and kings. As we study the prophecy of the Scriptures, there is going to be that of it, that aspect of it, that is very sweet to us. But also, there is an incredible bitterness to it. All of us have loved ones who don't know the Lord. And as we look forward to the Lord's return, it is a sweet and pleasant thing to us. But it is bitter to think of those, our loved ones and our friends and our neighbors, who are going to experience the unqualified wrath of God. Now, I want you to know that this is a day that is yet future. Come with me to the book of Malachi, chapter 4. Malachi chapter 4 and verse 5. We aren't going to take the time to expose a lot of things from these texts of Scripture. We'll get back to them later. But here, the Lord says to the prophet Malachi, "Behold, I will send you Elijah, the prophet, before the coming of the great and dreadful day of the Lord." So, you know, at the close of the Old Testament Scripture, that this has not yet occurred. This is not satisfied in the judgment of Assyria. It is not satisfied in the judgment of Babylon. It is not satisfied in the judgment of Israel. There is yet a future time when God's unmeasured judgment will be poured out upon this earth. Now, not only is it future with respect to the Old Testament Scriptures, but if you come back with me to where we were in the beginning at 2 Peter chapter 3, you will find this. In verse 10, "But the day of the Lord will come as a thief in the night." It is yet future, as Peter is writing here. This time of this great judgment of our God is yet future. Now, here is something that I think will be helpful to you. Come with me to 2 Thessalonians. Boy, we're really traveling through the Scriptures tonight. 2 Thessalonians, chapter 5, verse 1 through 4. "But of the times and the seasons, brethren, ye have no need that I write unto you. For yourselves know perfectly that the day of the Lord so cometh as a thief in the night." There it is again, the day of the Lord, its approach as a thief in the night. "For when they shall say, peace and safety," we're going to see much of that in the 24th chapter of the book of Matthew as we study that. The world will be saying, "Wow, we've made it, we've achieved our goals, peace and safety." "When they shall say, peace and safety, then sudden destruction cometh upon them as travail upon a woman with child, and they shall not escape." I remember the birth of our son Paul. It was the evening of April 15th. Oh, it was a beautiful spring day in Wisconsin. And Charlotte came to me and said, "We've got to go to the hospital. It's starting." Boy, it started and it came quick. And before we knew it, we had our boy. Paul is telling the Thessalonians it's going to come. Now, but notice verse 4. This is where we're going. "But ye, brethren, are not in darkness, that that day should overtake you as a thief." I cannot understand that in any way but this, that whereas the world will have no indication that this day is coming, we will. We will see the approaching of this day. Now, understand, we said it's like every dog has its day. We're not talking about a 24-hour day. We're talking about this period of time when God pours out His judgment upon the world. We are going to see that day approaching. We are going to recognize it. Now, come with me to... We're going to deal a little bit on the recognition of that tonight. Come back with me to where we started this morning in Psalm 79. Psalm 79, as I introduced it this morning before Don read it, I said to you, I believe is a prayer of the tribulation saints. Now, we're not coming to this, you know, in this group, unschooled and uneducated. When I speak of the tribulation, you know what I'm speaking about. And I believe that this is a prayer of the tribulation saints. And notice what they say. Oh God, the heathen are come into thine inheritance. Thy holy temple have they defiled. They have laid Jerusalem on heaps. This, incidentally, is the abiding characteristic mark that Jesus has given to His people regarding the last days. He has told them, when you see the abomination of desolations in the temple, know that the time is short. And that helps us immensely understanding the book of Daniel. I want to expand upon this phrase, O God, the heathen are come into thine inheritance. That is one of the markers of the last days. And I'm going to try to put this before you in a form that the way I see it. Now, draw a line across here. No circles tonight, Bruce. Straight line. And I'm going to talk about just a limited time of history. We're going to start in Genesis chapter 12. What is that? Call of Abraham. Okay? We are beginning here at the call of Abraham. God blessed Abraham. He said, blessing, I will bless you. I will bless those who bless you, and I will curse them that curse you. He was choosing a nation that would be His representative in the world. God has governed throughout the ages, these ages that I'm talking about particularly here, by having a presence of Himself in the world, in His people. And that's how He has governed the world. It's the same way that God governs the health of your body with the white blood cells. They go around and they eat up and destroy the bad stuff. And so God's people in this world control and reduce the growth of evil. That was the mission given to Israel. And they went along doing that, and in the process of this, there were their ups and there were their downs. There were times of apostasy and there were times of revival. Until we get to a division in history where God set His nation aside, it's the very thing we've been studying in the book of Deuteronomy, the history of Israel, and there are at least two, maybe three times when God said to Moses, just get out of my way, I'm going to destroy them, and I'll start a new nation through you. And Moses pled for Israel, and God withheld His judgment. Here is the place where He didn't. Now, I want to take you to Romans chapter 11, and verse 7 through 24. Oh my. I'm not getting as far as I wanted to get tonight. Romans chapter 11, verse 7 through 24. What then? Israel hath not obtained that which she seeketh for, but the election hath obtained it, and the rest were blinded. According as is written, God hath given them a spirit of slumber, eyes that they should not see, ears that they should not hear unto this day. And David saith, let their table be made a snare, and a trap, and a stumbling block, and a recompense unto them. Let their eyes be darkened, that they may not see, and bow down their back alway. I say then, have they stumbled that they should fall? God forbid. But rather through their fall, salvation is come to the Gentiles for to provoke them to jealousy. Now, if the fall of them be the riches of the world, and the diminishing of them the riches of the Gentiles, how much more their fullness? Now, can you see anything in that but the absolute assumption that though Israel is set aside, she will yet be resurrected by God? She was set aside here, we will say, at the resurrection of the Lord Jesus Christ, at the coming of the Holy Spirit, at the day of Pentecost. And the church began. Now, this is an area where you need to be careful. Replacement theology. Replacement theology teaches that, okay, I was going to do this. This is the church. This is Israel. Replacement theology teaches that the church replaces Israel and becomes a recipient of all her blessings. That is not what is taught prophetically. You need to understand this, the prophetic scriptures are very clear. You can't get consumed in replacement theology if you understand the prophetic scriptures. The church is going to go along until a time when Israel is reintroduced to the world. Now, there are some things that are characteristic that I want you to see here. At this particular time, I am doing some six circles. At this particular time, Israel was fully apostate. Christ said of the church leaders, ye are of your father the devil, and his works you will do. This is where the word Jew comes from. These Jews were the apostate Israel. And as a result of that, fully apostatized, fully darkened, the church was introduced. We will be looking at this. We don't have time to examine it tonight. But at the end of the church age, we will find the church fully apostate. One of the glorious things is that at this point, God is going to take His remnant home. That's the rapture. And then, God begins to deal with Israel. Now, the time from the rapture to the kingdom is at least 7 years. But it could be as many as 50. We don't know that the tribulation will start at the rapture. This, right here, is the day of the Lord. It is when God begins to deal with His people again. And this particular paradigm, I think, is important for us to understand as we look at it, so we know where to put particular things in and understand them. The wrath of God is expressed in both of these places against His people. Here, the wrath of God is expressed against the world in the tribulation period when He brings them into judgment. There are other parallels that I wanted to take you to tonight, but our time is gone. Yeah, if I try to hurry it, I won't do it. So we'll take our time to look at it in the future. My point tonight is I want us to understand prophecy in this area, that God has had a plan for Israel, and due to their apostasy, they've been set aside. God has had a plan for the church, and due to their apostasy, they are going to be rightfully set aside. This apostate church will be seen in the tribulation. We're going to see her there. Fully apostate, knowing nothing of the Lord, rich and increased with goods, having need of nothing, knowing not that they are wretched, miserable, poor, blind, and naked. It's the Laodicean church that's going to be in the tribulation period. Praise the Lord, we will be gone. We will be gone. And I think the way we need to look at that and understand that is God loves us. And we are not going to have to go through that terrible period of time. We will see more about the pre-tribulational rapture as we go through. But with this in mind now, we will go into Matthew 24 and Matthew 25. We need to know that the prophetic scriptures deal predominantly with Israel, not with the church. The only real prophetic scriptures that deal with the church deal with her apostasy and the rapture. It's the only real prophetic message we have about the church. The rest of prophecy focuses on Israel. If you understand that, you will understand prophecy a lot better. We're talking about Israel, we're talking about this time.